James chapter 1, verses 9 through 18. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time that we have together today, as we come together as a people rooted in the hope and salvation that comes through the cross and resurrection of your Son. As we reflect upon your word today, it's our prayer that you will give us open hearts, open eyes, open ears, so that your word can make its home in our hearts as we seek to be more like your Son. We pray this all in his name. Amen. Did you know that at any moment there might be as much as $70 million paper money in circulation that is actually counterfeit money? $70 million, that's according to the U.S. Department of Treasury. So it's no wonder then when you pay with a large bill, maybe at a restaurant, that they'll take that little device that they have, like almost like a black light, and they'll look up to see the stripe. I've seen other people do that. I've never had that happen to any of the bills that I've given them to them. I think it has to do with the denomination of that bill. But I've noticed when other people give a bill to the cashier, they might take a little device and look at it to make sure that in fact it is a real $20 bill or $50 bill or maybe even a $100 bill. In our lives, it's almost like from time to time we need to have a built-in device like that cashier holds to make sure that what we're thinking about or what we're doing or what we're hearing from others is actually real. Satan is referred to as the father of lies, the great deceiver. And as we reflect on our world and we think about what goes on in our society, isn't it true that there are a whole lot of lies going around? We could just think in the financial realm, right? A lie goes around that your status, your purpose, your very identity and character is actually wrapped up in the size of your 401k, the size of your house, the speed of your car, the label that's on your clothing. Your very worth is found in those material things. That's a lie that is told in our society. There are all kinds of lies. And as Christians, those seeking to honor God and proclaim Him to the watching world, it is so important that we can tell the difference between what is a truth, what is real, and what is in fact a lie. Our witness, in many ways, depends on it. In this section of James, in really kind of three areas of life, James talks about what is real and what isn't real and life. It has to do with the financial realm. He talks about that. And then when it comes to trials, and finally when it comes to temptation, what's real and what's not. I want to start off, though, in verses 16 through 18. So we're going to kind of work backwards here, at least at the beginning. I want to start with 16 through 18. James writes, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters." So don't buy into the lies. Verse 17, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created." So James, in verses 16 through 18, says what's real, what's true about God. And then he says what's real, what's true about us as Christians, as those people who worship and have our purpose and life rooted in God. First of all, he says about God that God is the giver of good gifts. God is the generator of all goodness. Now, I believe, thinking back to those original recipients of James' letter, this would have been a truth that would have brought them a great amount of hope. Imagine they were hearing quite a bit of lies, too. If they were facing persecution, certainly they were having threats of persecution from those around them who were threatened by them. Certainly they were facing societal pressure at one level or another because of their faith in Jesus. You'd have to imagine that a lie may have been circulating at that time that it's not worth living for God. It's not worth believing in Jesus Christ. You're going to live in your life in accordance with His will, and you're going to face persecution, perhaps even death. It's not worth it. So you have to imagine that they may have been on the brink of buying into the lie that God, in fact, is not good. That, in fact, you shouldn't give your life over to God. So in the midst of this historical situation, James said, "Know this about God. He is the generator of all goodness. He is the giver of all good gifts. He is the Father of the heavenly lights. He is the creator of all. See the stars and the moon and the sun. See all of that. See the lights that you can see maybe at night when you look up. Know that God is the creator of those. He made those. He is a good God. And He doesn't change. So what happens because of the light that's generated through the stars and the sun? There are shadows, right? We see shadows. We know about shadows. And they change throughout the day. We know this, right? They change because of where the sun is and things like that. But know this about God. He does not change. Just as He was 1,000 years ago, He is today. Just as He was when He created light, when He created all of those things, know that it is the same God that is at work in your lives as well. He's good and He's working. He is still the God of love and compassion for His people. So that's the truth about God. And then what's real about us is about Christians. This good God chose to give us birth through the word of truth. In other words, through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ and through the teachings of the Messiah, you have life, eternal life. This is what he's talking about when he says, chose to give us birth through the word of truth. And of course, we think of baptism as well. We are buried in baptism, into Christ, into this new life, the eternal, the real, abundant life, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. So what's real about Christians? We have life through Jesus Christ. And also, we are kind of first fruits of all He created. Essentially saying, you are the choice fruit. You are God's best. You are the crown of creation, we might say. You are important to God, loved by Him. In fact, you have a purpose and a mission of taking care of creation and proclaiming the goodness of God to others. And so James, in verses 16 through 18, in the midst of persecution and difficulties, he says, you are the crown of creation. You are the first fruits. You are so important to God. And back to the beginning of verse 16, brothers and sisters, don't be deceived. Don't buy into the lies. Know the truth. Know what is real. So we go from seeing what's said there in 16 through 18. Then we go back now, sort of with that in the back of our minds. Now let's go back to verses 9 through 11. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with a scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away, even while they go about their business. So the lie, we've already mentioned it. The lie is, one rapper said it, it's all about the Benjamins, right? Make a lot of money, spend a lot of money, use it, love it, enjoy it, build a big house. James says, it's not all about the Benjamins. You can Google that phrase later if you don't know what I'm talking about. Or maybe don't. I don't know. James says it's not all about the Benjamins. Again, historical context here. We have to remember this. James' letter was not written likely to one congregation. It was likely written to several congregations, maybe a circular letter that was read by one congregation and passed on to another congregation. What was taking place during this time, first century, is there was a great amount of tension between those who were poor and those who were the wealthy, sort of aristocratic landowners. It had to do with labor disputes. It had to do with the lifestyle of the different groups. So lots of tension that was based on financial status. Kind of sounds like today in many ways. But what was happening is people were coming to God through Jesus Christ, and they were participating in the Christian community. So you had poor folks that were coming to Christ and participating in the church, and you had wealthy folks that were doing the same. And now they were called to live as one. Oh, so James, in the midst of this lie that is being told, that it's all about money, it's all about financial status, he speaks a word of hope to those who are in humble circumstances, those who are poor. He says to them, know this. You ought to take pride in your high position. Why? Because the truth is, when you're in Christ, you are wealthy as you have a treasure in heaven. If you've got Jesus, you've got what you need, and you're participating in a Christian community that will help you through life as well. So he speaks a word of hope to those who are poor. But then verses 10 and 11 are more like a warning from a prophet. He says, for those of you who are rich, I believe speaking to those who are part of the Christian community, remember, this is a letter that is going to be read to those who are part of a church, to those in the Christian community, know this, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. No matter how pretty that flower is, even a blue bonnet, it's going to fade away. It's going to die. So know this, to the rich, the word of warning is your value, your treasure should be in Jesus Christ, just like it is going to be for those who are poor as well. And here's something I think we need to remember. For those of us who are here today, for the most part, we are the rich folks. We're the rich ones. And so that word of warning should be spoken right into our hearts. Know this. The rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. That's us. So what's real? In God's kingdom, financial status doesn't matter. The size of your financial portfolio does not matter. What matters is that you have a treasure in heaven given to you as a gift from God. That's what matters. That's what's real. Verse 12 now. James continues, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." So here's the lie. The one who experiences trial is not blessed. As a matter of fact, they are cursed. That was a teaching that was going on at that time. It was rampant. If you were experiencing bad things in your life, why are you experiencing them? Because you've done bad things. That was the teaching that was there, and that's a lie. So James turns it on its head, and he says, "Blessed are you, those who persevere under trial. Having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." So what's real? The one who perseveres under trials and tests, that person has a glorious reward awaiting them. There's always more to the story than what meets the eye. I think that's one of the things that James is saying. We talked about that last week. In the valleys, we grow. We might look at the valley. Others might look at us in the valley and say, "Terrible. I pity you for that." Certainly, you're not going to consider that pure joy, are you? But maybe below the surface, God is doing something. He is transforming us, developing us more into the people he desires us to be. So what's real? There's more to the story. James says, count it a blessing when you experience trials of many kinds. God's people still face trials. We just view them differently. God is at work. We see a trial through a lens of faith. Then verses 13 through 15. "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." So we need to talk about the difference between temptation and testing within this context, within James 1. I like what Craig Keener said about temptation, specifically talking about this passage here. He said, "Temptation in this sense is a willful attempt to get a person to sin. God does not do that. There's no willful attempt to get a person to mess up. God does not do that. Testing, according to Keener, is a situation or event that allows a person to either demonstrate faith in God or not. So tempting would be God is not trying to get us to mess up, just waiting, just saying, "Okay, I'm going to do this to them. I'm going to do this. I'm going to put them in this situation just so they'll sin. Man, I want to get them for whatever they've done." God does not do that. God does allow us to face situations and events in order for us to either demonstrate faith or not. And we see this throughout the Old Testament in several different places with the wilderness wanderings. And perhaps even Genesis 22 with Abraham and Isaac comes to mind as well. So the lie that is out there, again, considering the historical situation and what the people were facing, the lie is God is bent on getting people to fail. God is not bent on his getting his people to fail. And so what's real? God and evil don't mix. God and evil don't mix. When you're tempted to act in a sinful manner, looking right here at James 1, 13 through 15, when you are tempted, according to James, you're acting in a sinful manner. Excuse me, let me start over here. When you're tempted to act in a sinful manner, that's important. When you're tempted to act in a sinful manner, the temptation is not put there by God. But instead, the temptation comes from the evil desire within you. In other places in Scripture, it's Satan who is doing the tempting, right? So that's what's real. Linked to that, this is so important, linked to that is that there is good and evil in the world right now. That's a lie that's being told right now. So much of what's going on in our world is people are seeing what is evil and calling it good and taking what is good and calling it evil. According to God, there is right and there is wrong. There's good and there is evil. And so we heed the words, be careful how you live because the days are evil. Be careful how you live because the days are evil. And I believe, understanding this to be true, there are evil desires, there's wrongdoing, and the consequences, according to James 1, is death. Because of that, that should motivate us all the more to live holy lives, demonstrating the goodness of God in the world. Verses 16 through 18, one more time. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So Christians, all of us, we have been born through the word of truth, through Jesus Christ. And so how do we determine what is real and what is not? And especially when the world is telling us so many lies, how do we determine what is true? We stay close to God. We look at Jesus, the embodiment of all God's truth. We read his word. We soak up the pages of the Gospels. We stay close to his people, right? Demonstrators of what is real. We pray that the real God will do real transformative work in our lives, so in this world that is full of deceit, we can remain true to him. You may have heard of Corrie ten Boom from the Netherlands. During the early 1940s, when the Nazis were going around arresting Jews, and we know the story, her family, not a Jewish family, was housing Jewish families. They even, in her house, built a small room. It was only 30 inches deep, and it's something like 10 feet long, where they could fit at times 7, 10, 15 folks in just this tiny little space. It was in the back of her bedroom. She was just a young girl when this was taking place. And so her family knew that there was certainly a risk by housing these Jews that were perhaps going to be arrested from the Nazis. But they knew that it was the right thing to do. We could put it this way. There was a lie that was being told in that part of the world at that time, that there was a certain group of people that was below other peoples. As a matter of fact, the lie was told so boldly and strongly, even Christians began to think, yeah, those people deserve to die. But the Ten Boom family, they knew it was real. And so Jewish family after Jewish family would come, and they'd go up to this little girl's bedroom. They had a secret room. They would slide under the shelves and go up into this room. These families would huddle days, weeks, months. This family, the Ten Boom family, they knew what was real, even in the face of some pretty serious risk. They were proclaimers of what was real. But I want to read this. This is something that Corrie ten Boom wrote. The rest of the story is the Ten Boom family ended up being arrested, and they had to go and spend a great amount of time in a concentration camp as well. But I want to read this letter. Just listen to these words. The world is deathly ill. It is dying. Yet there is still a great work for Christians to do. They are to be streams of living water, channels of mercy to those who are still in the world. It is possible for them to do this because they are overcomers. Christians are ambassadors for Christ. They are representatives from heaven to this dying world. And because of our presence here, things will change. My sister, Betsy, and I were in the Nazi concentration camp at Ravensbrück because we committed the crime of loving Jews. 700 of us from Holland, France, Russia, Poland, and Belgium were herded into a room built for 200. As far as I knew, Betsy and I were the only two representatives of heaven in that room. We may have been the Lord's only representatives in that place of hatred, yet because of our presence there, things changed. Jesus said, "In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We too are to be overcomers, bringing the light of Jesus into a world filled with darkness and hate. There was a lie that was being told. It wasn't real. The ten booms knew what was real. They lived it out, being representatives of heaven in that place of hatred. Are you keeping it real? Are we keeping it real? Are we representatives of heaven in this place? Here in a moment, Taylor is going to lead us in another song as we continue our time of worship. If there's anybody here today that needs the prayers of this church family, we would love to pray with you, just share life with you. And so you can come forward here in just a moment, let us know, and we'll pray with you. If there's anybody here today that is ready to do the most real thing you could ever do, give your life over to Jesus in baptism, we would love to witness you do that. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and continue to worship our real God.